victory into heaven. Father, we wait on your wind. Come, Holy Spirit. Take your rightful place here. As we repent for every word, thought, and deed we've done that's offended you. We repent for every works of the flesh, dead works, and selfish ambitions. We repent for any rebellion. And we ask, Lord, that you wash us with the blood and purge us with your presence. Fill us with your Spirit. And come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Take your rightful place. Take your rightful place, Holy Spirit. And bring us to the throne room of our Father. Opening our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to receive what your Spirit says. Grant in us the wisdom and knowledge, understanding, discernment, strength, and boldness that we may be about your business in true spirit and in power. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give somebody a hug and tell them this is your day. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And it's a good day to die to yourself. The first requirement, Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you must first deny yourself. Oh, hallelujah. You know, as the world is in the wilderness, and so is the body of Christ, we're all in the wilderness. Two events are going to happen in the wilderness, the rapture and the wrath of God. In other words, the rapture will associate with the righteous. The wrath of God will associate with the unrighteous. And in this, you know, when Jesus came out of the wilderness, who was tempted by the devil, right? One of the things that he was preaching, besides the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because you got to be backed by the anointing, is that he was preaching, repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand. And what was he doing? He was trying to usher in the kingdom of God, but the first thing that had to be established as an area of repentance. Not only does repentance mean turn away, but it also activates the blood of Christ now because of the price that he paid for me and you. So when you and I repent for the things that we have done, we're to turn away from them, but it also activates the blood because the blood always goes before the Spirit. Everyone say the blood, goes before the Spirit. And what happens is then when the Spirit is there, freedom begins to manifest, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Freedom. Freedom. And isn't that what every human being is looking for? Freedom. So if they're looking for freedom, they're looking for Jesus. But they don't know that. So in this, the righteous and the unrighteous. So the righteous will make it to the rapture. The unrighteous will make it to the wrath. And in this, repentance is established. Turn away so that the kingdom of God can be manifested. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So without the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God can't be manifested. It's nothing but stinky religion. And we've had enough of that in our lives. We want freedom, because it is the ministry of the Spirit. And the word spirit also means breath. So what you confess is what you possess. So if you begin to confess the word of God, you're sowing into the Spirit, and you're going to reap what you sow. So there's something very important that the Spirit brought to me this morning. And sometimes we don't recognize it, or we don't sense it. But we've got to have more clarity on this. And in the wilderness, one of the things that God is doing is he's bringing the body of Christ, even though it's in the wilderness, but out of the wilderness, even though it's in the wilderness. So what is he doing? He's taking the world out of the body of Christ. Has everybody got it? He's taking worldliness out of the body of Christ, even though we're going into the wilderness, because the wilderness is of the world. Hello. Would you grab your swords, please? and turn to Genesis 1. Everybody put your hand on your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, you can repent. Hallelujah. How could you not go around without the Word? Even though the Word is in you, but if you're coming to a Bible study, you ought to come with paper, pen, take notes, because paper don't forget, and you will. If you don't learn, you will burn. That's right, it's learn or burn. Learn, why? Because you'll get burned by the devil again. The devil will use you to burn somebody else, and you can eternally burn. It's truth that prevents you from burning, man. Everyone repeat after me, the Bible is true.
The Bible is true.
I believe it.
I receive it.
I ask Holy Spirit,
interpret,
and impart
your truth
to make me free. In Jesus' name. Genesis 1. Is everybody there? It's the first book of the Bible. Genesis 1, in verse 1. Would you read it? In the beginning. What's the first thing God created? No, He created time. It says in the beginning, right? So the first thing He created was time. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, the spiritual realm and the natural realm. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now I want to share something with you, and I'm not going to go into deep teaching on this. But between verse 1 and 2, something happened. Because it says that God created the heavens and the earth. How many of y'all know God doesn't create anything in vain? And what He creates is perfect. And then it says the earth was without form and void. That means something happened between verses 1 and 2. And darkness was on the face of the deep. What's darkness represent? The presence of evil. Does everybody see this? And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. In other words, God was getting ready to do something. Then God said what? Let there be light, and there was light. In other words, God said, let my presence be restored. Because the word let there be means restored, not create. And God saw that the light, it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. So He was dividing. What was He doing? Even though the presence of darkness was still on the earth. Does everybody understand this? Because it was void and without form. In other words, it was useless. The presence of darkness is useless. And so He sent His light. He was sending His presence now into the earth. Has everybody got it? That's why the Holy Spirit was hovering. Is the Spirit of life, isn't He? He's the light. And in this, you can read the rest, and then it says, God restored. It says everywhere, let there be, let there be, let there be, which means restored. And watch this now. Ooh, in verse 5, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So evening and morning were the what? First day. First day means new beginning. It means what? The new beginning. And we know the number 8 means new beginnings, but this is the first day He started it on, the first day. Now we know that it goes all the way to what? He restored in what? 6 days. He restored everything in 6 days, and He rested on the seventh. So we see here that darkness representing the presence of evil, light representing the presence of God, and the first day meaning a new beginning of restoration where God's presence was going to be restored to the earth. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Now go to Isaiah 14, and I'll tell you what happened between 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 14. Now we have a teaching called the 6 stages of the earth. If you want to go in depth with that, you can get it. It tells you about the beginning and the 6 stages that the earth will go through. In Isaiah 14, is everybody there? In verse 9, would you read it with me? Hell from beneath is what? Excited about you, to meet you at your coming. It stirs up the dead for you, all the chief ones of the earth. It is raised up from their thrones, and all the kings of the nations. They shall speak and say to you, Have you also become as weak as we? Have you become like us? Your pomp, in other words, your pompous, your pride, your arrogance, is brought down to Sheol, which means hell. And the sound of your stringed instruments, the maggots, is spread under you, and worms cover you. In other words, this individual was created with instruments. He was known as Lucifer. He was God's right-hand man. When God created him, he was created with timbrels and pipes and stones and precious stones and all the precious stones of the earth, because God allowed Lucifer to be the praise and worship leader of the universe, where the mountain of God was actually known as the earth, and it was inhabited by sons of God known as angels. Amen. And in this, we know that something happened to Lucifer, because he was the anointed cherub. And it says here now that pride established in him, and now his stringed instruments, the maggot is spread under you, and the worms cover you now. How you have fallen from heaven. Come on, does anybody read it? O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you have weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farther sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I'll be like the Most High God. Now, he was on the earth when he proclaimed these things. Why? Because you got to get above the clouds. You have to be on the earth to get above, right? I will ascend above. I will ascend above. Why? Because he was the praise and worship leader of the universe, and he was granted the earth as the mountain of God to express God's praise. Is everybody okay? And then he began to exalt himself. And the Lord's response to him was, listen here, homie. Yeah, you're going to be brought down to hell. Right into the lowest depths of the pit. Now, that's where darkness covered the face of the what? Deep. Does everybody see that? So what had happened was, between verses 1 and 2 of Genesis, which we call the earth, the original earth, and then the chaotic earth, where it was shut down. People call it the ice age and all kinds of other things and whatever. But anyways, in this is where Lucifer was removed from his position and placed into the earth. So everybody got it. So the presence of darkness was already here on the earth even when God restored it. That's why Lucifer, the presence of darkness, had a right in the Garden of Eden. Watch this. In verse 16. Those who see you will what? Gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his what? Of his prisoners. So we see here Lucifer was a praise and worship leader. Now, pride is the highest level of ignorance, isn't it? Pride is the highest level of ignorance. Pride, personal reverence into a deadly end. So Lucifer, in this pompousness and this haughtiness, began to exalt himself above God. And God removed him from his presence, and Lucifer had a presence of now evil. So we see now then, Lucifer was placed into the earth, and God reestablished God's presence with his light. So light and darkness were on the earth. Has everybody got it? God's presence and the presence of evil. Now, when the Lord restored the light, he restored the light in preparation to send his offspring. Has everybody got this? So he was restoring the earth. The purpose of the earth being created was to bring mankind in. But he restored the earth, brought light in preparation of preparing his offsprings to come. And we know that his offsprings were who? Adam and Eve. Now turn to Genesis 3. Now, when the Lord created Adam and Eve, light was here. God gave Adam and Eve the authority over darkness. That's why Lucifer was still bound to the earth. He's still bound to the earth to this day, but he did not have dominion. When God sent Adam and Eve, he gave Adam and Eve dominion over the earth, right? Over the sea, over the air, over the birds, right? And in that, Lucifer, so Adam and Eve actually had the keys to Lucifer. God gave Adam and Eve authority over darkness. Even though darkness was there, they still had authority over it. Let's go a little further. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more what? Cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of the every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. In other words, that's presence of evil. The tree of knowledge of good and evil was representation of evil presence. Then a serpent said to the woman, God's a liar, basically. He said, you shall not surely die. Because the presence of evil, in the presence of evil, is lying. Has everybody got it? The presence of evil lies. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, here's the kicker, because they would know about good and evil, but the problem is he didn't really tell them the truth, that they would become good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for what? Food, lust of the flesh. It was good, pleasant for the eyes, lust of the eye. And the tree was desirable to make one wise, pride of life. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and they ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Now, something happened here. What had happened was Adam and Eve gave up their dominion, gave up their authority to the presence of darkness. Light no longer reigned, and the presence of evil now reigned. And I want you to get this, because this is important, because the presence of evil reigns over the whole earth. The presence of evil, an evil presence, reigns over the whole earth. Wherever you go, there's a presence of evil. You do not escape it. Is everybody with me? It's everywhere. Now, some people say, well, the devil can't be everywhere. The devil's not omnipresent. Omnipresent means past, present, and future. Has everybody gotten it? But the devil is over all the earth. The Bible says that he is the ruler of the earth. He's the god of this age. Hello? So his presence is everywhere through his demonic forces, his demons, principalities, powers of darkness, wickedness in heavenly places. The powers of darkness, the presence of evil is over this whole earth. There isn't a place you do not go where the presence of evil is not. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Let's go to verse 22. And then it says, and then God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put out his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the garden of Eden to till the ground with which he was taken. And he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turning every way to guard the way of the tree of life. Why? Because he did not want darkness to reign forever. Now we can go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 18. Would you read it with me? We know that whoever is what? Born again does not sin. Now the word sin here means presence of evil. In other words, no fellowship with the presence of evil. If you are born again, you do not fellowship with the presence of evil. So to come out from the presence of evil, you first are out as being an offspring in the presence of evil. You must be born again. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God, what? Keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. In other words, there is no fellowship with the presence of evil. We know that we are of God in the world. The whole world lies under the what? sway of the wicked one. In other words, under the sway of the presence of evil. And we know that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from what? Idols, because they will produce the presence of evil. That's why accursed items, many people don't even realize that in their homes they can have accursed items. And an accursed item will draw demonic activity. And even this accursed item prevents you from overcoming your enemy. So everybody got it. Why? Because you're allowing the presence of evil in your home. So you got movies, music, books, to that degree, that do not please God, they need to get out of your house. Clothes, all of those things will draw demonic activity in your home. There are many people who are out there going, oh, Lord, help, help, help. And he's saying, clean up. Right now, there's a coming out. Everybody say, coming out. In other words, the powers of darkness are trying to keep us in the presence of evil. And we must come out of the presence of evil. One of the things God is doing is getting the presence of evil out of us. Because you can't get the presence of evil out of a place unless you can get it out of you first. He deals with you first. Amen. Praise God. Go to Ephesians 2. You know, when it's awesome and how God, you know, really begins to mold us and stuff, you know. People call for fire of God. They have no idea what they're calling for. It's not goosebumps. It's purifying. What it does is burns out the garbage. You know, so when you're calling for the fire of God, believe me, God's going to deal with you right afterwards. And in this coming out, in other words, we have a tendency of saying we're either going into wilderness, or coming out of the wilderness. But I want you to know that coming out of the wilderness doesn't mean that you're coming out of the wilderness. It means the wilderness is coming out of you. Because the world and everyone in it will stay in the wilderness till the rapture and the wrath. This is it. In Ephesians chapter 2, is everybody there? And verse 1. Read it with me, please. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of air. Now listen, what's the prince of power of air? Amen. And is it the presence of evil? It's the prince of power of air. It's all over. You can't escape it. It is the prince of power of air. It is the presence of evil that is everywhere. He is the prince of power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the what? Lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and who are by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Now, does everybody see that? Children of wrath. Why? Because the unrighteous will end up in the wrath of God. The righteous will end up in the rapture of God. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were idiots or dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Does everybody see that? Prince of power of error is the presence of evil. It is everywhere. You do not escape it. It's everywhere. Has everybody got it? Is everybody okay? Praise God. Now, the prince of power of error is the presence of evil over the whole earth. It's blinding people from the truth of the light, or what we call God's presence, and influencing them to serve self, which is the offspring of darkness. It influences them to serve self, which is the offspring of darkness. Go 2 Corinthians 4. So let me ask you something. Whose responsibility is it to remove the presence of evil? Ours. It's amazing in how many people do not get this yet. It's our responsibility to remove the presence of evil. Not God's responsibility, ours. He's given us everything. He's restored everything that Adam lost, didn't he? We have it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are what? Perishing. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Who's the God of this age? Satan, the presence of evil. Who do not believe lest the what? The light, the presence of God, of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. Does everybody see that? For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God, the God who commanded what? Light to shine out of what? Darkness. Where? When he restored the earth, do you understand that? But now that we are born again, now he's commanding the light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts. So he's taken this presence of evil out of us. Has everybody got it? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Because it's above us, then it's the presence of evil again. So you have the choice of constantly removing the presence of evil or fellowshipping with it. Is everybody okay? Ooh, yeah. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Everyone say, I'm coming out from the presence of evil. Because it's my responsibility to remove the presence of evil. That the presence of God can take preeminence. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Do not what? Love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the love of the world, the what? So is the lust of the flesh the presence of evil? Yes. The lust of the eyes? The pride of life? Yes. Those are the presence of evil. It is not of the Father, but is of the what? World. Because who's the ruler of the world? And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. He who does the what?
The will of God.
The will of God abides forever. So this is where you got to ask yourself, am I really doing the will of God or am I doing my will? Because if you're not doing the will of God, you can't abide forever. Why? The presence of evil will wipe you out. You won't have dominion. Because it's our responsibility to remove the presence of evil. And if you are not doing the will of God, you can't remove the presence of evil. The presence of evil is dictating to you what you're to do. And it's promoting yourself. Has everybody got it? So you're more concerned about survival of yourself than giving of yourself. Hello? Is everybody okay? Yes. Evil presence is in these lusts. And all those who are underneath this sway are unrighteous. They are what?
Unrighteous.
God looks at them as wicked, unrighteous. Why? Because you can only receive righteousness from eating from the tree of life. Eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil does not produce the righteousness of Christ. It produces the unrighteousness. Of who? The presence of evil. So everybody got that? Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 6. Whose responsibility is to move the presence of evil? When Peter got the revelation that Jesus was the Christ, right? In other words, he was the Christ, he was the anointed one, and the word anointing means the presence, power, and the truth of the eternal one. When he got that revelation, Jesus said to Peter, that's good. I'm glad you got it, and nobody's revealed it except for my Father to you. Now that you got that revelation, there's something I'm going to do. He said, in that revelation, I'm going to build my church in the presence, the anointing of God. And I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail, and I'm going to give you keys. I'm going to give you keys of the kingdom to bind and to loose. And whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Why? So that you can remove the presence of evil. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 11. Is everybody there? Did everybody understand what I just said? You have the keys of the kingdom to remove the presence of evil. It's not got nothing to do with a feeling, goosebumps, nothing. It's to remove the presence of evil. If you're oppressed, if you're miserable, there's the presence of evil there. If you're a woe is me-er, I can't do this, I can't do that. I'm telling you, the presence of evil is there. It's your responsibility to remove the presence of evil. Do you ever get around somebody who's always grumbling and complaining? Man, they're called believers. They're always associated with the presence of evil. It's your responsibility to remove the presence of evil. In verse 11, all Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own what? Affections or desires. Does everybody got it? And what would those desires be? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life, which is the what? Presence of evil. Now in return for the same, I speak to you as children, you also be open. Do not be what? Unevenly yoked with unbelievers. Why? What does an unbeliever carry? The presence of evil. For what fellowship has righteousness with what? Lawlessness. And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? And what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, in other words, what is he saying? If you want me to walk with you, if you want me to be in you, if you want me to be your people, then there's something you got to do. Come out from among them and be what? Separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. And I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. So there is a coming out that God is doing right now. There is a coming out that's happening right now. So a lot of your stuff might be being more exposed now. Because God is saying it's time to come out. It's our responsibility to remove the presence of evil. How many of y'all, religiosity, the spirit of religion, is a presence of evil? Amen. Portrays a false righteousness. It's one of Satan's ministers of righteousness. The Bible even says Satan himself comes as the angel of light. That's why the Bible tells us those who do the works of the flesh will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because the works of the flesh is associating with the presence of evil. Did you ever realize that? Why? You know, when we were out serving the devil, we always hung out in dark places. You know what I'm saying? Man, you stayed to the bars until they closed. Then everybody turned the lights on. You saw every demon in hell right there. Everybody looked wicked. You wanted to run. And why do you think it says food and spirits? They might as well just say food in the presence of evil. They might as well just put on their cup of demons. Come on in and drink. Is everybody okay? So whose responsibility is to remove the presence of evil? Ours. How about, is it our responsibility to not associate with people, places, and things of evil? Amen. Why? Because you're just inviting evil in again. How about things you speak? How about things you think? Amen. How about things you see? Things you see. Things you hear. Well, you know, when you hear a lot of things, you see it too. Hallelujah. James chapter 4. God is good, isn't he? James 4, verse 1. That's why you must not get complacent or lazy. You must stand before God daily. So when you make a mistake, what do? Repent. Why? It activates the blood. The Spirit's got access to you. In James 4, verse 1, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from what? Your desires for pleasure that war in your what? Members. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. Well, who are they associating with? The presence of evil. Now this, I want you to know that he's talking about believers that are doing these things. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not what? Ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures or the presence of evil. Has everybody got it? In other words, they're asking without, they have no right to ask because they've not fulfilled the obedience of God. Please get this. There's two major things of a foundation with the Lord. The first one is discipline. The second one is obedience. If you are disciplined in obedience, that's the beginning of the foundation. And the beginning of that foundation means that as you are obedient, the Bible even says that you have the right to cast down these thoughts and so forth when your obedience is fulfilled. See, there are people trying to do all kinds of stuff and take dominion, but their obedience hasn't been fulfilled, and the devil laughs at them because he knows that those individuals have tied the hand of God. And God can't move until there's repentance. What does he say in verse 4? Adulterers and adulteresses. Do you not know that what? Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself a what? An enemy of God. Why? Because it's the presence of evil, an enemy of God. Amen. So then you're associating with the presence of evil. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives what? More grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud. Again, what is the proud associated with? The presence of evil. He resists the presence of evil. But he says he gives grace to the humble. Why? Because grace is the plan of God to escape the deception of the devil and the wrath of God. Why? You and I must cooperate. That's why the Bible says you must work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Ooh, that word fear is wonderful. With fear and trembling. In other words, you must begin to maintain a fear of the Lord. And not a horror of the Lord. This fear means honor, respect, and reverence. That is the fear of God. Honor, respect, and reverence to Him. Is everybody okay? Praise God. And verse 7. Therefore what? Submit to God. That means you fulfill your obedience. Then you have a right to ask. And authority is released to you. Therefore submit to God. Resist the devil. And he will what? Flee from you. So to be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. That's why God says, come out from the lust of the evil presence. Remove yourself from people, places, and things that are carrying evil presence. You know, again, the Jews were in captivity to Egypt, Pharaoh. They were in the wilderness. Even with Pharaoh, they were in the desert, weren't they? And what happened was, when the Lord sent Moses to get the Jews out, one of the things that he told Pharaoh was, release my people that they could serve me. Release my people that they can what?
Serve
me. So you know why you're being released from darkness? To serve the light. That's why you're released. It's amazing how many people get released from darkness and still want to serve self. Then they're really not released, are they? They get released. They get saved. Yeah, man, I'm saved. Hallelujah. Never reach a place of born again. Where they serve the Lord in joy and gladness. See, the reason why we were released is to serve the Lord. We've been released from darkness to serve God. The Jews were taken from Pharaoh or Egypt into the wilderness to get Egypt out of them. Hello. And that's what God is doing right now, getting the world out of the body of Christ. And there's going to be a great shaking, and it's going to shake, shake, shake. And the world's going to shake, 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 and anything that's not of God won't hold. Again, the shaking will continue. Two events in the wilderness is the rapture and the wrath. Remember that peace, joy, and righteousness in the kingdom of God is a manifestation of his image, likeness, and character also. And there is a fear of God that we just talked about where we must maintain this reverence to God. And the fear of God again is what? Honor, respect, and reverence to the Lord. And it must be maintained. Now, the unrighteous do not do that, but the righteous should. And one of the greatest ways that you can show God and respect him is to worship him. That's why it blows my mind that believers who do not worship God do not have the fear of God. They don't have the reverence to God yet. Psalm 36. What is the fear of God? Reverence, respect, and honor. Psalm 36 and verse 1. Would you read it with me? An oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes. Wow. There is no reverence. God calls them wicked. He calls his own children wicked because there's no reverence. There's no fear. For he flatters himself in his own eyes, and when he finds out his iniquity, and when he hates. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. So we know that the person eventually did have the fear of God and turned away from it. He devises wickedness on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not abhor evil. He does not what? In other words, he is fellowshipping with evil instead of hating it. Does everybody get that? He's lost the fear of God. Because the Bible says that the fear of God is to depart from evil. In fact, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And wisdom tells you what to do. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 10. Now, the fear of God will motivate, challenge, and redirect you to do righteousness. Has everybody got it? Would you all repeat that with me? The fear of God will do what? Motivate, challenge, and redirect you to do righteousness. That is what the fear of God. Why? Because to do the righteousness will bring reverence, honor, and respect to him. That is the fear of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, is everybody there? Is everybody okay? I know some of you are going to need to get this, the tape to really get this, and I encourage you. Because it's our responsibility to remove the presence of evil. Not God's, ours. In verse 1, would you read it with me? Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance?" Now, this was King Saul. God was putting King Saul in position to oversee the Jews. And he said, "Okay, now you've been anointed with the oil. Now let's get you the anointing." And in verse 5, he said, "Listen, there's something you got to do." He said, "After that, you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is. And it will happen when you have come there to the city that you will meet a what? Group of prophets coming down from the high place with what? String instruments and a tambourine, a flute, and a harp before them, and they will be prophesying." So I want you to really look at this. Here are these prophets. Now they've got these individuals that have tambourines, flute, and they're jamming before the prophets. What are they doing? They're worshiping God. And what they're doing is they're moving away the presence of evil. They're pushing away the presence of evil so that the presence of God could come and they begin to prophesy. Does everybody see that? So it's our responsibility to remove the presence of evil. Well, even they knew it then in the Old Testament. So there they were. The prophets were behind these guys that were, you know, praising and worshiping. You know, when you clap your hands, it's real simple. Just think this. When you clap, it's say, shoo, 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 shoo. What are you doing? You're telling the demons to shoo. You're telling the presence of God, I mean the presence of evil, to shoo so the presence of God can come in. So they were moving back the presence of evil and bringing in the presence of God, and they began to prophesy. Does everybody see this? Cool. Now watch this. In verse 6, then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with him in what? Be turned into another man, a man that God can use. And let it be when these signs come to you that you do as the what? Occasion demands, for God is with you. In other words, what he's saying is when the occasion comes, make sure you praise and worship so God can be with you. Why? Because God's presence will maintain the fear of the Lord. And his presence will also maintain the anointing. Has everybody got it? See, when you lose the fear of God, you lose the presence of God. That reverence isn't there. That means that evil is now starting to the evil presence is starting to overtake you. The fear of God is being removed. What complacency, compromise, then complaining, grumbling, strife. Does everybody see it? Hallelujah. Worshipped. They removed the evil presence and worshipped and brought in the presence of God. Again, the fear of God is maintained by the presence of God. And with the presence of God, you'll maintain the anointing, which breaks all the yokes of bondages. The Bible says that the Father seeks those whom will worship him in truth and in spirit. Again, we are coming out of the evil presence of the wilderness into the presence of God. It's our responsibility to remove the evil presence. I'm going to close at 1 Samuel 12. 1 Samuel 12. And verse 14. Everybody okay? Y'all got this? You going to start kicking some butt? Humbling yourself? Amen. Get more grace? Get more presence? Get more joy? Glory to God. In verse 14, would you read it with me? If you fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice, do not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then both you and the king who reigns over you will continue following the Lord your God. Now, I want you to understand that the king that reigns over this place right now in this country does not follow the Lord. He's in the spirit of Pharaoh. And in that, we are coming out. Those who are believers. In fact, the Bible tells us that if the body of Christ is what restrains the presence of evil from doing everything they want to do. But one day when we're removed from this planet, the presence of evil will do what they want to do, but they'll be directed by God because my dad has the last say. He'll use the presence of evil to bring in the wrath of God. Verse 15. However, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you as it was against your fathers. Now, therefore, stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is today not the wheat harvest? I will call to the Lord, and he will send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord, and asking a king for yourselves. Now Samuel was upset because the Israelites asked for a king and rejected God as king. They wanted a humanite. So God took this humanite called Saul and said, all right, I'm going to give my people what they want. How many of y'all know sometimes God gives you what you want if you pester him enough, even though it's not good for you? And he took this humanite, and he poured oil on him, and he said, now go do this. And when he went and followed, he got involved with the prophets. He's got to praise and worship, moved back the presence of darkness. The anointing came upon him, and he got changed. He got changed because now he became an eternal light because the presence of God was on him. But eventually, he started compromising. He got anxious, started doing things ahead of God, took his authority beyond, didn't wait on the authority from above. And then God had to remove him and put King David in place. Let's go on. In verse 18. So Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said to Samuel, pray for your servants to the Lord your God, that we may not die, for we have added to our sins the evil of asking a king for ourselves. Then Samuel said to the people, do not fear. You have done all this wickedness, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all of your heart. Do not turn aside, for then you would go after the empty things which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only what? Fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all of your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. Now there's one other thing I want to share with you. That the word sin means presence of evil. The Bible says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. The word sin means presence of evil. The word transgression means you've cooperated with the presence of evil and acted on what you cooperated with them. The word iniquity means that you brought a curse on your family line now because of the transgression, what you've done. That's why it's so important to break ancestral curses and curses. There's three types of curses: ancestral, self-imposed, and temporary curses. And it's important to break these curses off of your life and be set free. The Bible says that the one who endures temptation, in other words, when the presence of evil comes and rejects it, receives a crown of life. So I encourage you, the more you reject the presence of evil, the more crowns you have that you can lay before the Lord when you get before him. There is a presence of evil that rules this earth, but you are not under it. But no matter where you go, it's there. It's our responsibility to remove that presence. Don't let that presence of evil alter your attitude, your motive, or your desires. Keep the presence of God in your life. You maintain the fear of God and the presence of God. You'll maintain the anointing which breaks the yoke of bondage. And you'll walk in the righteousness and stand before him with joy and not with horror fear. Because those who are unrighteous will stand before him in horror fear of what he's going to do. Amen? It's the coming out. It's happening now. Cooperate with the Spirit. Worship, fight, remove the presence of evil from your life and walk in the light of truth in the presence of God. And be faithful all the way to the end. And to God be the glory. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask for your forgiveness of every area where we've associated with the presence of evil. And we ask, Lord, for restoration. Because we have the ministry of restoration. Restorating your presence in places the presence of evil. Lord, we thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor. And let the fear of the Lord increase in everyone's life here right today in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.